easily the most hated and loved guest that I ever have on this program. And I mean it, hated and loved. He's a decorated military intelligence officer, an original member of the now famous, or is it infamous, U.S. Army Prototype Remote Viewing Training Program. I have read his entire military record, beginning to end. It's a long one, and everything in there is true. He served as the training and operations officer for the Defense Intelligence Agency's Psychic Intelligence Collection Unit. Currently serves as executive director for the Matrix Intelligence Agency, which is a private consulting group, the technical consultant for the feature film Suspect Zero. I love that movie, by the way. It was a Tom Cruise, Paula Wagner production. Ed actually coached Sir Ben Kingsley, had a little part himself in the movie, and played the role of an FBI remote viewing instructor as well. Now, it was really a good movie. I've got to say, of this movie, that it was, I watched it with a judgmental eye, I would say, and I really, at the end, I thought that was excellent. So if you get a chance, see it, Suspect Zero. In a moment, the man who, well, to say it again, is the most loved and hated, that's quite a title to have, guest that I ever have on the radio, Major Ed Dames, coming right up. It is a curious thing. It really is. The people who dislike Ed Dames continually mention his misses, or what they consider to be his misses. The people who dislike him sort of concentrate only on that and never on what he hit. And he had quite a few hits over the years, and it's been a lot of years now that Ed's been on the show. He's had a lot of hits. And then there's that other timeline thing. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. First of all, Ed, welcome to the pro back to the program.
Happy Easter, Art. I'm sure it's happy for you.
Thank you. It is indeed a happy Easter for me. I am so in love, Ed. Anyway, I guess we share something somewhat in common. You're marrying a woman from the Ukraine, is that correct?
From Ukraine, yes. And in fact, I'm moving to, as I mentioned on a couple of shows ago, I'm
Yes.
moving to Ukraine to be with her. She doesn't want to come to the States, and I can understand.
Nor does my bride. Isn't that, it's rather interesting and statistically unusual.
They in those two countries, in the, both the Philippines and Ukraine, and as well as many other countries, that family is so important, family and
That's
friends,
correct.
and it can be cold here. The standard of living by our standards is high, but it's cold. It can be emotionally cold.
Well, a lot of gals, all around the world, Ed, form their opinion of the United States based on our movies
I
and our
understand.
television. And, we have so much media that comes from the U.S. We're king of the world in that category.
I agree.
And that's how they form their opinion of what all of America is like by watching movies. And so, of course, in many cases, it's simply not accurate.
No, but they do form their opinion on what they see, and they do in Ukraine, unfortunately. Now, with the advent of television, about 10 or 15 years ago, TV became very popular, and there's a lot, instead of reading books, they're now plopped in front of the TV. Soon that will be the internet, of course.
So you fluently speak Chinese, and now you're gonna have to go learn Russian.
I am enjoying learning Russian. Yeah, I only speak a little now, but I'm learning fast.
Well, I guess you're a fast learner if you're fluent in Chinese. Anyway, it's certainly good to have you back. When are you going to the Ukraine?
I'll go to Ukraine hopefully next month for a short period of time, and then a longer time in July. I'm aiming toward a late autumn or winter marriage.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you. And the
And
same to you.
thank you. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show here that those who dislike you, and there are many, you have a lot of fans, Ed. I mean, you really, really have a lot of fans. And even a lot of the people that hate you wouldn't miss a word you say. They wouldn't miss a word you say. They point out what they consider to be your failures. Do you have any failures you would like to document and say, yeah, I screwed up absolutely on that one?
Oh, yes, I'll talk about one big one tonight. In fact, I did an interview for the May issue of After Dark, and I almost talked about my failure. I almost said it, but that everything changed last week in terms of those failures. There won't be any more failures after last week.
Why?
A tremendous breakthrough, one that I'm ecstatic about. This search problem that we've had to deal with, what I've had to deal with for the past 22 years, that has been an abysmal failure, particularly with what MIA, the Matrix Intelligence Agency, calls Project Operation GoldenEye, search for children and child murderers.
Yes.
A terrible failures. We've had very, very few successes on that, and that's my favorite project, of course, as you know. But last week, I flew into Ann Arbor and sat down with my partner, Brent Miller, to try to really work the search problem over and over again. We had a good method that we developed called a geofix method, but it just became unwieldy. We wanted something that was much more streamlined and effective. So we sat down for a week, and we came up with a breakthrough that is profound. It is totally profound. We can now locate a target, any target, person, place, thing, a treasure, a fugitive, a missing child, to GPS precision every single time. We field tested this breakthrough. Brent Miller had someone hide a cigarette case within 40 miles of within a 40 square mile area of Las Vegas, Nevada, and he was able by himself, without my backup or anybody else on the team's backup, to walk up to that cigarette, to the rock under that the cigarette case was hidden
mm-hmm.
at, and find it. Just
dare I ask how?
We looked at what was working in terms of the search problem, what we didn't have in the military unit. I mean, this would have been a dream in the military unit days 25 years ago to have something like this, and we didn't. It took all this time to develop it. We use a terrain index reference system that's still proprietary, but we have to teach our students, of course, how to find things. And it's technical in nature, but the breakthrough is very, very elegant and simple. And it takes us, an individual, probably about a professional, 2 days minimally to precisely, within a few meters, locate a target. But without understanding remote viewing and how it works, it would be difficult to explain to you how we actually do it. We run through a series of about 60 to 80 remote viewing sessions that last not your regular 45-minute to 2-hour sessions, but perhaps 15 minutes. And we compile the information, and we use some mathematics techniques, and out from that falls pinpoint locations. And we used it this week to actually locate a child's...
Well, it's wonderful to hear that. I guess remote viewing, really, would you call it a science?
Well, I wouldn't now. In fact, right now, with this technique, with this geofix technique, we can outperform any technology-based system. Outperform it every time. We can tell you where a threat submarine is parked, where Osama bin Laden is. I mean, I'm like a kid in a candy store. What do you go after? Noah's Ark, Osama bin Laden, Atlantis?
Well, that's a serious, very, very serious improvement if you've really done this. I would think the military would be most immediately interested in such an increase in capability. I mean, it is an emerging and changing... We've not heard the last word on remote viewing, obviously. It's morphing, right?
Oh, it's well. Obviously, the CIA is very, very interested in this in terms of strategic intelligence, and I'll tell you what I'm interested in a moment. But as one might imagine, in terms of strategic intelligence collection, the highest priority for this breakthrough is nuclear terrorism. And I think it's an interesting coincidence that this particular breakthrough probably came perhaps not a minute too late. In this context, my team is not only a national asset in terms of, let's say, nuclear emergency search team support, but we're an international asset as well. And that's, after 22 years, this discovery, 22 years in the field, this discovery is beyond simply meeting the promise of RV, which would have been what I would have been happy with, to be able to find the missing child each time, for instance. But it's really going to silence the skeptics. And historically speaking, it's profound not only in terms of intelligence collection, but also in terms of, let's say, human potential.
Well, and if you so much as identify the exact whereabouts very publicly of somebody very publicly missing, you could immediately add 10 tons of credibility, and you'd have people rapping at your door. No question.
It's going to come fast. It's going to come. We after the field test, we immediately applied it operationally. My primary role is still that of an educator. I teach people to do this, but I'm still an intelligence officer, and I use remote viewing exclusively for the information that I collect and that my team collects. But we've got this precision guidance system now, and we took it into the field very recently on a missing child case. Now, I have sent Lex Lonewood and you overhead photography. I do not want to talk about this case, nor do I want to talk about what's on that film, but you'll see at the crosshairs in one of the overhead photos that I sent you, specifically right there is a child's body, and the murderer is on that particular property. But what we have to do, and because the FBI and law enforcement agencies are so overworked, and these kids, for instance, when we're dealing with kids, they fall off the radar screen really quickly. And we'll have more to say about that tonight. But we have to do the entire, we found, after all of our failures, what we went back and looked at what we were doing right and wrong, and we realized we have to do everything ourselves, not only do the field work, but we have to investigate a culprit. And that means...
Well, that's a lot of resources, for one thing.
Well, once you streamline the process, we know exactly what to do. For instance, on this current case, a child murder, Not only do we have to be on the ground and surveil a location and perhaps a person, and a murderer, abductor, murderer, kidnapper in this case, but we've got to actually do more than that. And sometimes we have to interact with the murderer to gain intelligence. We have to
You mean virtually get in the murderer's mind?
No. We have to be on the ground and actually interact. So, in addition to, for instance, I've got to publicly express my gratitude to David Rosetta for a recent operation. One of my team members. You can see his picture on a past webcam webpage our show. He actually had a hidden camera and video, and he actually interacted with the murderer or got close enough, put himself in harm's way, so that we could get the essential evidence we need. And he came up with some really critical data, too. He was near the murderer and about the murderer, stuff that we need to put together a portfolio, to put together a case to present to FBI and other law enforcement cognizant agencies, to convince them to conduct a search. Otherwise, DA won't grant search warrants and those kinds of things. So we've got to actually put together an entire case, and that means intelligence collection, the whole bit. We can't depend on law enforcement to do this. I think one of my goals has always been to become an operating arm of America's Most Wanted, and now we can realize that. So I'm just ecstatic over this breakthrough.
Well, it's going to take... nailing one, as I said, to prove what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You're confident you can do that?
Oh, I am beyond confident. Like I said, I'm ecstatic. This thing is so sweet. It's a wonderful discovery.
Well, you should, whatever it is, you should make it very public. I mean, you've got to nail something before the public's eyes.
Oh,
it's not enough to send Lex something and myself something.
Oh, we're painfully aware of that. One of the things we're going to do is... we're going to do that quickly, very, very quickly. We have some unfinished business. I have an Edmonton serial killer that we have to put out of commission. And my own most wanted man, who's also Russia's most wanted man, is Shamil Basayev. He's the engineer of the Beslan massacre. I need to help the FSB, Russia's security service, to neutralize him. Those are personal projects. Some of the projects I'll talk about tonight, you'll see results on very quickly.
All right, let's talk about them.
Okay, you were mentioning what I consider my failures. The missing children cases were my biggest failures because we could always get close to a missing child, usually a child's body, but never close enough to be digging in the right spot. We could identify the location of the child's murderer, but we couldn't get enough evidence to take the murderer off the street or to have let's say, law enforcement conduct a search. There wasn't enough for to convince law enforcement to give them a cause for search. But because of the pinpoint accuracy of this breakthrough now, we don't have to waste resources squirreling around on reconnaissance, many reconnaissance trips and things like that. We can go right to the target. And the missing child case this week, I think may be the first one that comes to light, but possibly not. We're going to help with the Natalie Holloway investigation, and that's a good case in point. I took that project on.
What can you tell us about her?
I took the project on. I'm going to tell you something about her. I took the project on only because my heart went out to Dave Holloway, her father, after I read an excerpt from his book on the web. I couldn't help but put myself in this place.
Okay.
Usually, I only go after younger children because they're innocent. They're totally innocent, and evil's got them. And we feel drawn to those cases more than others. But it was just pretty heartrending to read that.
Well, if you want to stick your neck out on Holloway, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to.
Go.
Witness the turtle. It only makes progress by sticking its neck out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I'm a risk taker, too, as you know.
Okay, so extend.
Okay, so we a typical project like that, I divide my team up into two tasks. So three or four of the team members go to work remote viewing the target's location and
right.
disposition. In
right.
this case, we're looking at Natalie Holloway. Is she dead or alive, and where is she? Those
okay.
kinds of things. The other half of my team goes to work with this new geofix technique to pinpoint her location.
Exactly where, yes.
Yeah. So her disposition, and many of my students in my last workshop in Las Vegas, and I have another workshop next month scheduled too, the students work this as a practicum. And the students in my remote viewing forum, my teaching forum on the web, also work these kinds of things. So they're working real-world problems. What I can tell you is that we did not investigate her death, the circumstances surrounding her death, only her disposition presently. She has been stuffed, her body has been stuffed into a lobster cage, a weighted lobster cage, and sunk immediately off the coast of Aruba. Now, that's her disposition. But those findings are really irrelevant to the authorities. That's just our word against anybody else's, except for one thing.
And that
now
is,
with this technique, this precise technique, the technique is independent of topography or terrain. Open water, tundra, you name it, desert, we can pinpoint an ancient city as well as a body in the water.
Do you believe her body will be located in the manner, you know, in the manner that you just suggested it'll be found?
I'm going to put an X in the next week. I'm going to put an X exactly on a map, exactly over where the body is.
That's exactly what you need to do. Once again, Major Ed Dames. Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you.
Okay, so you've got it to the point where you actually, truly this time, and there was, you sort of made the same declaration not long ago that you had, actually nailed down a way for the exact where of things.
You get it down to within 10 miles, and then the system started to get, it became unwieldy, and there were mistakes that we were making in the process as well. But we fixed that. We fixed that in no uncertain terms.
All right. Well, this will also extend then, apparently, to some gold. Tell me about this.
My team, as a reward for my team, they asked to go after a gold treasure. We found, using remote viewing, a strong box that is sitting around in the Sierra foothills, and that is the gold target that I had talked about on your show. Now, in order to complete that promise to you, it looks like I'm going to have to fly to the Philippines to put that gold in your hand for a photo op. No, really. I mean, I can't. That was a promise. I've got to keep it.
Well, good for you. Will that be from the States or will that be from Ukraine?
God only knows. From Ukraine, I think it's equidistant. But
yeah.
Either way, through China, you know, maybe through China because I speak the language.
Yes. All right. So I can look forward to your eager little Well, actually, to get into the building I'm in, you've got to have some ID. You've got plenty of that. So I'll hear and get a call saying, there's this man down here who's got gold for you, sir.
Yes.
That's
I'll
assuming
you
make it to my door alive.
I'll give you a heads up. I had an international group, a group of international lawyers that I did a contract for once, and they called themselves the SHIT Group, the Search for Hidden International Treasure. No, I'm serious about this.
Great acronym.
Yeah, in Scottsdale. Yeah. And their target was General Yamashita's treasure, which was the biggest treasure, one of the biggest treasures in the world, and hidden somewhere on the island of Luzon. And that was a fascinating contract.
Is there anything spiritually wrong with seeking targets of rich?
I think it wouldn't. There's nothing spiritual about remote viewing. Remote viewing
Wait a minute. Are you really sure?
Yes. But remote viewing is a mind tool. It's a mind process. It's a mind skill. It has nothing to do with spirit.
Well,
what you're talking about is ethics, Art, not spirit. I think.
I did mean, are there spiritual aspects to it? And you know what? Yes, there are, Ed. By your own declarations, for example, you have encountered non-human entities.
But that,
And that is the spiritual, a spiritual aspect of it, in my way of thinking.
Well, everything, in our world, as a remote viewer, everything exists as a pattern of information. And as things in other dimensions, spiritual entities, you and I, the television set, it's all information. So we're going to this information registry to download information, and that's the skill I'm talking about.
Well, yes, but if some of that information detected is clear evidence of spiritual existence beyond human, that qualifies.
If you say so.
I guess I do.
I wouldn't call it evidence. We already have seen what the problem we have with evidence, which we're about to fix. In fact, if I'm going to furnish that map to Dave Holloway, to Natalie's father, but I'm also going to give it to Lex Lonewood, your webmaster,
right,
to post on your page.
That's what you need to do.
And if I myself and one other member of my team are qualified divers, and I have a lot of experience, and we have our hands full right now, or we would do this ourselves. But if we might have to eventually, if that body is not recovered, when we put that X there, but I think it will be. Otherwise, we go down and we do it ourselves.
Okay. You're making very definitive, relatively short-term statements. Good thing for you to do if you can back it up.
Oh, yes. You have not seen how wonderful and profound this discovery is, this breakthrough. It is. If only we had this during the military unit days, history would have been rewritten. And actually,
I would imagine the program would still be going.
It would be going, but you wouldn't hear about it.
Well, I wonder if that's not true anyway, Ed. I mean, that's a serious thing that I've been thinking about in all the years I've been talking about remote viewing. If, as you guys say, you know, you and the others, and, you know, I've interviewed, I think, all of them, Ingo included, everyone says remote viewing works. Nobody argues about that. They all say it works. If it really works, Ed, and if you've made, particularly if you've made this improvement, then... if we're not doing it, then we're neglectful of national security.
Well, it wasn't that it was hit and miss. It just wasn't successfully. It didn't successfully support operations to the degree that we as commanders needed it to, and that's why. Because it hadn't evolved. It hadn't matured as a science yet.
I'm willing to buy that.
That's just changed. That's why I will probably be teaching CIA teams, but that's the change took 22 years of a lot of work and a lot of mistakes. But all those mistakes in the field and otherwise, you know, they count because you learn from the mistakes unless you make the same mistake.
All right.
Again.
Well, let me try this line with you, please. This is very important to many people, Ed. You have predicted some very dire things for the world, from children dying to massive number of people worldwide dying from solar activity to, all kinds of very dire things, Ed.
I didn't want to talk about those at Easter.
Well, that's all right. No choice. since you've made admitted to mistakes with regard to children, missing children, is it also possible that some of these more dire predictions you've made could also be inaccurate?
The mistakes I made with regard to children were in locating the children.
I understand.
Being able to locate that. And
yes.
I would point out to you that one of the predictions, that actually it's a forecast, because we're looking over the horizon. These situations exist in the future. That's why they're viewable. That they're already there. Mind is outside of time, so it just vectors over to this new information position. One of the situations that was the most dire was starving children because there
That's
was
right.
no milk.
That's right.
And why was there no milk? Because dairy cows had developed some type of a disease.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The first dairy cow today, the report was today, in Canada with bovine spongiform encephalopathy, bovine... we thought it was an AIDS-related disease 20 years ago, looking over the horizon where all these children were dying. But it's mad cow disease, and a cow, not a steer, was diagnosed with that in Canada today. That's what I'm talking about. That's not going to just be an isolated instance.
Okay.
So that's
but again, one of the rough areas was not just location with remote viewing. It's always been admitted, I think, that timelines were extremely difficult. Sometimes you could only mark them by some other event, and so you'd end up saying, well, when you see Mount so-and-so erupt, then look for something else to happen soon thereafter.
Correct. And the nearest recognizable preceding event, a window, bracket it.
Yeah. So with regard to the timelines, isn't there still possibility of error?
Oh, absolutely, in terms of timeline. But we can work on that next. In fact, we are. We already started. Now that we have this breakthrough in precision guidance in terms of GPS-level accuracy, which we'll demonstrate. In fact, the skeptics will be put in their place quite soon. I promise you that. I guarantee that to you. That's how accurate this system is. But, yes, we still need to work on the time problem. We've got the search problem solved now. Can the time problem be solved? Is it soluble? I do not know, but we're certainly going to work on it, one thing at a time.
Right.
But every science evolves. It takes a long time for sciences to evolve and for technologies to spin out from them.
Yeah, I agree. I really always have and do firmly believe there's some real aspects to what you're doing. It's real. But it's not perfected. It's not a perfected science. It's far from over, and we know less about our own minds and what we're capable of than any other part of our body.
Granted. Yeah, but at least this breakthrough is a real start, because it will put remote viewing on the map worldwide. And that's why I picked these really sexy, big targets, like you see the pictures on your website of the Lisseau Blanc, which... the white bird,
yes,
which is our flagship project. Those kinds of things really will serve to put remote viewing on the map once and for all. It took a while, but like I say, we hung in there, we worked hard, and now we're gonna reap the glory.
Why do you think of all the remote viewers that came from the military program, you are virtually the only one who has chosen to look at the more dire aspects of what's ahead for mankind?
To save lives, hopefully, to save lives. That's what it's all about. You know, hey, guys, you know, there's something over the horizon you need to know about. If they would have known about that in Baton Rouge and when before Katrina or in any number of instances, lives would have been saved. And that's why we do it.
Well, when things like that happen, people tend to say, where were the remote viewers?
We've discussed that over the years on your show. We have to actually look in a certain direction to see things coming. It's not omnidimensional all the time. We have to be able to look specifically at something. The next earthquake, let's say, in the next earthquake with a massive loss of life or heavy damage in North America.
All right. Well, look, here would be an easy one for you. The next time we get a major Cat 4 or 5 hurricane that's in the Gulf somewhere, why don't you put together a team? I mean, you've got 2 or 3 days once it's in the southern part of the Gulf before it's going to strike any specific land. Nobody knows, really, 2 or 3 days out where the hell it's going to hit. They have sort of general projections and that are very wide. Why don't you put together a team and call it?
Actually, that's quite a doable thing. I've never thought about doing anything like that because I'm like a kid in a candy store right now with all the things I want to do with this discovery. But that's eminently doable, actually.
Well, that's it's a where thing, right?
Yes, it is, and that's what we have now. We have the tool to do that, so it's eminently doable, Art.
Well, I think June 1st marks the beginning of the hurricane season again. And people are going to be very, very nervous this year. So if 2 or 3 days out from landfall, you could call the exact point of landfall, Ed.
We'll do it. We'll do it. That's a great project. I didn't think of anything like that. But it's a great way to demonstrate what we've got now.
Yes, it is. And so I hand you that one.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the gold.
I'll take it. The gold search is scheduled for the first week in June.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's when our team is going in. We don't have access to the area until Memorial Day, and so we can't get in there until then. So we're scheduled the first week of June to go in.
All right. Where to now? We've got so much to talk about.
I'd like to talk about the Le Sol Blanc and, of course, this a very, very important project about the next crop circle. But the Le Sol Blanc is our flagship project, and I know I'd like to say a few words about that.
Please do.
Yeah, and I'd also like to remind people that the skill I'm talking about is a skill. We're not psychics. This is a trained ability. That's what I do. I teach people how to do this. So, at some juncture in your show, I'd like to plug my teaching stuff.
You certainly may. I mean, we can do that here in a moment. Now, wait a minute. There is a difference you just delineated between psychics and remote viewers. I have had, I guess what I would call some psychics on the program recently who have done some pretty incredible things. For example, well, actually she doesn't call herself a psychic, instead a witch. She's made some pretty remarkable predictions. Evelyn Paglini has been pretty dead on. So some psychics, Ed, seem very gifted.
Oh, well, my mentor, the father of remote viewing, who's the most gifted psychic not only I, but most people have ever run into, Ingo Swann.
Yes, and Ingo, indeed, is just an incredible, incredible man who's just hit so much. And, yeah, you're right, he's a psychic. So being a strong, natural psychic has obvious, I don't know, enhanced capabilities when you enter the world of remote viewing.
As I've mentioned on previous shows, when I train natural psychics, then there's a possibility, if they toe the line, it's possible for them to become not just professionals but all stars. And a gifted natural psychic, after they're trained properly, can produce nominally twice as much detail in a given period of time, let's say an hour, than I could. I'd have to do 2 or 3 remote viewing sessions to produce that much detail. But if they're not trained, there's a problem. They cannot recognize when their own ego or their own analysis or their own imagination is influencing the data. Ingo Swann was extremely careful about this and studied himself. So that's why we did not use, in the military team, we did not use natural psychics to collect intelligence, because mm-hmm. when they were on target, they were really on.
Discipline problems.
It's a remote viewing is not that rigorous. It's as rigorous as any other skill, whether it's playing the piano or skiing. It takes some rigor. Otherwise, you can't do it. That's why you need a coach, and you need a structure and a model. And that's what I do.
Yeah, I can buy that. That's really is the center of what you do. You teach people how to do this.
But no psychic can match the performance that we're capable of now with this breakthrough technology.
You're obviously very excited about this.
Oh, I am. It's just beyond belief. 22 years, I've never seen anything. We could not even have even dreamt that something like this was possible. And all of a sudden, it's in our lap.
All right. Well, look, an honest, straightforward question. Again, with respect to the dire things, the children, the milk, the sun's activities, how many people are going to die. Do you want to express any caution right now with respect to how quickly these things are going to happen, that you could be perhaps wrong? Do you want to correct any of the dire predictions that you've made?
No. I wouldn't have said them unless I, you know, the timelines, of course, I agree with you. timelines are really shaky. But at least it get the predictions get people looking that way, looking at the sun, looking at cows being infected with mad cow disease, and and perhaps dairy cows, which has now happened. So these things are important. What are you going to do when you don't have milk for your baby? How are you going to feed it? Those kinds of things. You know, get ready. Be ready.
Soy comes to mind.
Well, so some kids are allergic to soy. You know, there's problems there, too. So you have to, what are you going to do for your baby?
Yeah, I certainly. So you don't, even given the, you admit there could be a timeline problem, which gives me a little bit of hope, because maybe it'll happen after I'm well and gone.
We always know there's a timeline problem. We know
Good.
That now.
Well, see, that's a little bit of hope. Where before you were so sure, Ed, about even the when of it, really, that it was depressing to listen to. I mean, I guess this is going to happen, but, you know, if it happens a generation or so from now, that's a big difference for most of us.
It's not going to be a generation. It's going to be within the next 5 years to a decade max. I'll hang my hat on that.
Okay, all right. Hanging your hat on that.
Speaking about hanging a hat, there's one thing. I want to interrupt you for one thing. I have a bone to pick with your the Bugsport cartoonist, Ted Bastian. His last week's Bugsport, which is still on your website on remote viewing, he's got me remote viewing a gray, and then the gray uses me, my ectoplasm, as a not only a coat rack, but a hat rack, too.
Really?
I mean, I get no respect.
I know. I know. It's not an easy job that you do. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned grays, because I had a person who emailed me and wanted you to take the time, if you could again, to tell us everything you know about grays, to describe them, to tell us what you believe they're all about, what they really are, all of that. Are you willing to do that?